want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's been a real blessing to be here this morning. Just the music and the thoughts the boys had to share with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Help us, Lord, I pray, to truly see you, Father. Lord, that we might reflect your love and mercy. God, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father. Again, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Again, we ask your blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Again, just a real blessing this morning. The songs, the springtime, it's amazing with, we look, it's supposed to be spring. You know, there's places in the world that no matter what man is doing, you know, there's places in the world that are at war and bombs have just destroyed everything around them, but the green grass is still coming up green and the trees still bloom and everything that life just is trying to come forth, and God is still good. God is still bringing a spring even where man is trying to destroy everything around him. And it's just a real blessing that God gives us that picture of himself and has extended that mercy to us. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. What I want to do this morning is talk about what Jesus had to say to us about salvation. There's a sign down the road that mentioned this, what Jesus said about salvation. And I've thought about that. You know, a lot of times I grew up hearing all my life that what Jesus taught about salvation was just believe and you'll be saved. But whenever I really began just to see what he actually taught about it, it was completely different than what I had been brought up with. I was just blessed this morning with the songs. There's a gate that stands ajar, and through its portals gleaming, a radiance from the cross afar, the Savior's love revealing. And it says, O depth of mercy, can it be that gate was left ajar for me? Just sang that, and I just almost lost my train of thought of what I wanted to speak about this morning. Because, O depths of mercy, can it be that that gate was left ajar for me? It's just not working. when we're singing this song, that gate, there is a gate that stands ajar, and the whole depth of mercy, can it be? And I just remembered a time in my life that I realized that gate was left ajar for me, that there was mercy. And it just thinking back of what it meant to me, that when I realized that all that God had done and all that He had done for me, and how I had taken it for granted, I despised it at times, thought little of it, and had just was so caught up in my own life and my own world that I had completely neglected it. And even through all of those things, I mean, there was a time in my life I've told it before, how I had gone to church all my life and heard that if I would just accept Jesus, I would be saved. And we can all get in that rut of just teaching what we think or what we believe, and we get comfortable in those things. And I appreciate what I had learned, but there was so much more that was available. And I had got to the place where I just rejected going to church. I remember leaving church one morning, or missing church one morning, I guess, about that time. And I just thought, I felt free for a little while. And I've reflected on that later, and you know, and where that led me, that I just remember driving down the road, and I felt free. I didn't have to go to church that morning. I didn't have to go, and I just had determined that I'm through with that. And I was driving down the road, and I just remember that false sense of freedom that I felt at that time. And looking back later, and the path that sense of freedom led me down. And I've thought about it, looked back later, you know, and I've thought about a chicken in a chicken coop. You know, you see them going down the road, they're all piled in, and all they want to do is be free. And they just, and then I thought about that, you know, how that chicken going down the road and maybe finds a hole or a way of escape from that little cage, and he jumps out and he thinks, I'm free, and then hits the road 60 miles an hour. You know, that's about the way that seemed, or that's the way, when looking back, that's the way it happened with me. And I just went into all kinds of sin and did all kinds of things that I got caught up in, not working still. Just the bondage, it beeped again, Jace. I don't know whether it went off. Yeah, sorry. Okay, good. The bondage that I came under during those times, and just made a lot of really, you know, just a lot of bad decisions, and thinking that I was free. And then I began to realize, you know, that there was more to life than what I was getting out of it. And I began to turn back to the Lord. The Lord called me and drew me back to Himself. And I just remember seeking Him again and going back to church and finding the same message there. Just it was more than just me being saved. And I began reading the Bible, and I just began studying it. And seeing what Jesus had to say about all of this. And I began to look in it and see what Jesus was saying, not what the theology was saying and the doctrines was saying. And I began to realize that what Jesus was saying was much more. And we'll look here in Matthew chapter 5. Just some of the things in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall, or I'm sorry, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then it goes on and says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. The verses that Murray read, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Some of the things that Jesus taught that... Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These are promises that God has given. You know, we don't look at these as salvation, but that is where the salvation is. You know, it's like I said, it's not about God just saving us from hell. You know, if that's our only purpose, and that's our only thing in our heart, is just so that I don't get in trouble, that's selfish. But whenever we look at the things that Jesus taught us, how we can deny ourselves, these verses where He said, let your light so shine. You know, the only light that we have is what God has given us. That light that we have is a reflection of what we've tasted or what we've seen from Him. That's what a missionary, that's what a disciple, that's what a Christian is. It's just reflecting what God has done in our hearts and in our lives. You know, whenever I realized God having mercy on me, that transformed my heart. I saw myself as not being worthy of mercy, not being worthy of any peace or grace or anything. I saw myself as deserving whatever punishment God would give to me. And whenever I tasted the mercy that He had for me, then I was able to truly be the light of the world, is to reflect what He's given to us. And, you know, we look at religion and oftentimes we get caught up in do this or do that. Or make sure you live your life just so that you never sin. And We have entire religions built on just everybody just doing what is right. Everybody being perfect. But the focus of that is not a reflection of what God's done for us. It's what God has told us to do. And that's why we're doing it. And so then we set ourselves up as someone just carrying out the law of Christ instead of being a reflection of what God has done in us. We're working with one of the churches this week, and one of the churches in Mexico that we've been working with, and just hearing that there's a lot of the brethren that are just going here and there, just looking for something in one of the other brothers, trying to correct them, trying to help them out, you know, and just some having a long list of things against a brother. And you know, it makes it appear that everything's looking good because we're just all correcting each other all the time. But I told one of the brethren that anybody can do that. There's religions all over the world that live that way. And that if you wanted to be a true reflection of Christ and of God, that His focus should, instead of trying to fix everybody else, that His focus should be on showing mercy. That His focus should be on being patient with brethren. That His focus should be on grace. Being graceful like God was graceful. Forgiving like Christ forgives. You know, that's the things that Jesus talked about when He talked about salvation. Because those things are what make us more like Christ. Anybody can be religious. Anybody can live strict and disciplined lives if they choose to. But it takes seeing God and who He really is to be able to reflect His mercy, His goodness, His kindness, His love towards us. You know, I think that's why the world has such an image of God. That because the religion looks stale, the religion looks lifeless. It may be strict, it may appear holy, but all the world sees is a mean, angry God trying to force us into a way of life we don't like and we don't want. But to be the light of the world is to be a reflection of God. And too often, that reflection that the world hears is of God is not a reflection of the world, or not a reflection of Christ. And it's not a reflection of God. It's just a reflection of pure old ugly religion. And that's what we see. And that's what the world sees. You know, that's one of the brethren, we pray for our nation. You know, there used to be a time when this nation actually cared about God. You know, this week there was an article in one of the big papers that said, isn't it about time we're through with God? He's nothing but mean and cruel and all the things that, it's time we put God away. One of the editorials in one of the major papers in this country. It's just time we put God away. That's what they think. And a lot of that can be laid right at the feet of Christianity. Because the God that they portray is not the true reflection of who God is. The only way that we can truly be that reflection is when we actually look at God and see at who He is and who He wants us to be. And instead of trying to just put on a different change of clothes, do a real heart search of who we really are. You know, There's a verse in the Bible that Jesus said that he didn't need man to testify because he knew what was in man. He knew what was in man. I think a lot of times whenever religious people are dealing with people and they hear something, they're shocked about how someone could do a certain thing. They're aghast that someone could act that way. They're just, oh my, how could someone do that? You know, anybody like that doesn't know what's in man. Anybody that has that reaction to some evil or sin don't know themselves. I think one of the things that God allowed me to go through whenever I was seeking, when I was growing up, rejecting Him, I think one of the things He allowed me to do was to see that I was capable of doing anything that I thought I was not capable of doing. One of the things He allowed me to do was to see what was in me and what I was capable of. We don't have to learn it that way. A wise man, you know, it's said a wise man can learn from his mistakes. I say a wise man can learn from somebody else's mistakes. We don't have to make those foolish decisions. We don't have to taste of the depths of those things to realize that that's in all of us. We're all capable of those things. Whenever we look at brethren and we're shocked at how they can do this or that, there shouldn't be any shock, because we know we're capable of doing the very same thing. We're not better than anybody. Nobody's better than us. It's just by God's grace and mercy that He hasn't just let us go to taste those things. And I am so grateful, I'm so thankful that after God gave me a taste, He showed me a gate that was left ajar, so that whenever there was nowhere else to look but up, I looked up and I saw that there was a gate ajar and it was left open for me. Oh, depths of mercy, can it be? Now, that's the way I felt. And I think a lot of us that have felt those things, we forget that when we get caught up in our religion. We get caught up in just being religious, being holy. The true reflection of holiness is being like Christ, being full of mercy, being full of forgiveness, being full of grace. That's when peace comes. That's whenever we can, when someone can fail us, and instead of thinking, how could they fail us, we can say, you're forgiven. Not just in the world like we talked about last week. Forgiveness starts with the brethren. Forgiveness starts with the closest people to us. You know, we can forgive someone from the world doing something wrong to us, but you let a brother do us wrong, and boy, there's no forgiveness at all. It's only bitterness. There's a lot going on in this world, and a lot of it is centered around this victim mentality. I got hurt, and so I have every reason to be upset. And it turns into this selfish, ugly tantrums that people throw. You know, we see it in the world. But you know, if our brother does us wrong, or our brother doesn't meet up to our expectations because we have this high expectation of what he ought to be, and we excuse our ugliness our little tantrum because he didn't measure up to what I think. We are no different than the little brats in the city that don't know whether they're boys or girls, thinking that everything is against them. It's the same mentality. You know, Jesus said about, you know, one of his, judge not, lest you be judged. A lot of times what the heart of that is I'm expecting you to be something that I'm not. I'm expecting you to this standard. But when we really know ourselves, it's hard to expect someone else to be higher than we are. It's hard to expect or depend on anybody else being up there to the point I'm let down because they failed me. You know, if we worry about, you know, people just following a leader, you know, the real test, if that leader fails, the real test of the people that are under them is whether they can just pick up and keep on going themselves and be as full of mercy and full of forgiveness as God is. Oh, depth of mercy, can it be that there's a jar, there's a gate left ajar for me? This is where salvation is. I've got a whole list of verses we could have gone through this morning. But I think we understand. I think we can see that salvation is being like God. We were created in His own image. Sin has marred that. Sin has destroyed that, just like a city that's been bombed. But every little once in a while, every little bit, the grass grows and it turns green in the spring. And just like the landscape of humanity has been marred by sin and destroyed and brought into captivity, there can still be some buds of life springing up right amid all that destruction. That's the light of the world. You know, it's said that a true revolution only takes about 3% of the people to be dedicated of a country. The light of the world is much less than that. God doesn't need much to preserve. You know, we've talked about Sodom and Gomorrah, that Abraham, whenever he was praying with the angels, and Abraham said, if there's just 10 left, will you destroy it? And God said, no, I won't destroy it. And he went down, or 50, and he went down to 40 and 30 and 20 and then down to 10. And God said, I will not destroy it. You know, God destroyed that country not because of the wickedness of the country. He destroyed it because there wasn't any light left in it. There wasn't enough light left in it. And that's the way it'll be. And that's the way it's always been. Whenever there's not enough light left shining, what we can do is be that light. Be that light yourself. You know, quit worrying about how you look religiously. Quit worrying about how you appear to everyone else. You be that light, reflecting God's true mercy, His true forgiveness. That's the difference between religion and life. You know, a lot of it looks the same at first appearance, but there's a great difference between it. On the judgment day, it will be revealed, the difference. Let your light shine before men in a way that they may see your good works. You know, works is something in the Bible or in the theology that's despised, looked down upon. But Jesus talked a lot about it. And it's, you know, I think the definition of works, Jesus is talking about you be what's real. You let your mercy show. You let your forgiveness show. Works, the real thing that God despises about works is when we try to put a religious image in front of being what we should be. That's what works is. That's what He despises. Putting a religious face instead of being what He wants us to be. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. I'm going to read this song again. There is a gate that stands ajar, and through its portals gleaming, a radiance from the cross afar, the Savior's love revealing. That gate, ajar, stands free for all who seek through it salvation. The rich, the poor, the great and small, of every tribe and nation. Press onward then, though foes may frown, while mercy's gate is open. Accept the cross and win the crown, love's everlasting token. Beyond the river's brink we'll lay the cross that here is given, and bear the crown of life away, and love Him more in heaven. O depth of mercy, can it be that gate was left ajar for me? I think one of the things that I was talking with the brother, and he has desire to be a missionary, and I just told him, I said, you know, any church in this world is a mission. You know, we think of being missionaries, that means packing up and going overseas somewhere. And there's a place for that. But unless we're a missionary right where we are, A.W. Tozer said that you can put a donkey on an airplane, and when it gets off the plane, it'll still be a donkey. Distance doesn't make a missionary. We have a mission. Each church is a mission. And the heart of that mission is taking care of things right where you're at. Being the light right where you're at. Because if we don't have that, it doesn't matter where we go. We haven't learned the heart. Another observation I've made traveling all over the world. It doesn't matter what country I've ever been to or what church I've ever been to. I mean, I've been to the Philippines. I've been to Malaysia. And you know what they're teaching? You know what their highest goal is? Is to send a missionary somewhere else. Everybody's. Doesn't matter what country I've been to. They think that their goal is to, as a church, is to send a missionary to another country that's worse off than they are. You know, we look at those countries and see no gospel at all there. And their goal was to send someone overseas to be a missionary. And I've told them, every place I've ever went, someone said, why don't you start a church here? And my answer has always been, why don't you be a church here? You be a church. Because that's where it's at. You be the light right where you're at. And somebody will see that light shining bright enough one of these days, and they might say, hey, would you go send that light somewhere else? But you like let that light shine here. Then you'll have something to take somewhere else. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back 6 o'clock this evening. May the Lord add his blessing. God bless you all. Depart in peace.